to the Middle East now. There are now three nations saying that they have evidence that Syria's repressive regime has crossed a line and is using chemical weapons against its own people. Israel's senior military intelligence analyst said the regime used chemical weapons repeatedly last month. France and Britain also wrote confidential letters to the United Nations, making a similar claim based on what they called credible evidence. Does a consensus from three nations constitute a fact?
Once we establish the facts, I have made clear that the use of chemical weapons is a game changer.
That is the president last month in Israel. But yesterday, White House spokesman Jay Carney wasn't talking about lines or changed games.
We have not come to the conclusion that there has been that use, but it is something that is of great concern to us, to our partners, and obviously unacceptable, as the president made clear.
Joining us now is Gary Seymour, who was President Obama's coordinator for weapons of mass destruction, counterterrorism, and arms control. He's now executive director at Harvard University's Belfer Center. Gary, welcome.
Thank you.
Do you sense in that statement from Jay Carney some resistance on the part of the Obama administration to embrace possible use of chemical weapons because they're not prepared to really retaliate in any coherent way?
Well, the stakes are very high for the Obama administration because the president has put down a very clear public red line that the use of chemical weapons, as the president said, would be a game changer. But if you look at the kind of options that are available to the United States to respond to chemical weapons use, especially very small-scale battlefield use, they're not very attractive. And in particular, the president obviously does not want to get dragged into this conflict. So I think the administration is wisely taking its time to examine the evidence. I do think that as physical samples are taken, especially of the victims, it will be easier to reach a firm conclusion. But at this point, based on what's publicly available, it's hard to say the evidence is very conclusive.
But if we do get to a point where the evidence is conclusive, I asked Jay Carney when he was on our program last year if the experience in Iraq, the invasion of Iraq in 2003, basically has used up the slack that the American public might have given for another intervention, even if it becomes absolutely essential in Syria. Would the Obama position be the same in Syria if we had not invaded Iraq? Here's his answer.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the black and white zero-sum analysis that suggests we should be invading or unilaterally taking military action, or if we're not, then we're therefore not doing anything, I think misses what has been happening in the region and the helpful position that this administration has taken with regards to democratic aspirations there.
Now, is helpful position regarding democratic aspirations going to be enough to respond to chemical weapons if it's confirmed?
I think it depends on the scenario. If you're talking about large-scale use, which I fear is quite possible if the civil war continues and if the Assad government begins to weaken and feels it has no recourse but to large-scale use, then I think there'll be tremendous pressure on the United States as well as other countries to take action. And if you look at the options available, whether it's attacking the Assyrian Air Force so that they can't deliver chemical weapons, or attacking the chemical weapons facilities themselves, these are very difficult military operations because the Syrian chemical weapons program is so extensive. And it's hard to think of a military scenario that would be effective without requiring a very large military intervention.
But I'm just wondering if this goes on. I mean, I think one up until now has been able to remain in this kind of geostrategic discussion regarding Syria. It's so close to Israel, next to Iraq, the question of instability in Lebanon, the difficulty of operating inside Syria. But if chemical weapons start being used, then you're into a kind of Rwanda scenario. And I'm just wondering if the U.S. can tolerate another human rights violation on a scale like that on its watch.
I think it's very likely that the U.S. would be forced to take military action of some kind if there's large-scale use that involves thousands of civilian casualties. And the most likely means of delivering chemical weapons in that kind of scenario would be by aircraft, using aerial bombs. And so one obvious way to respond would be to ground the Syrian Air Force so that they couldn't use airplanes or helicopters to deliver chemical weapons. Of course, that doesn't solve the problem because the Syrians can deliver chemical weapons through missiles or artillery or rockets. But the idea that we would be able to seize or destroy Syria's chemical weapons arsenal, it's a very, very challenging military operation because it would require extensive use of military forces.
But with no evidence of chemical weapons in Libya, there was a no-fly zone that was mobilized by NATO. Couldn't a no-fly zone be implemented tomorrow to at least address the initial question that you raised?
I think it could be. The trouble with a no-fly zone is you have to reinforce it. And obviously from the U.S. standpoint, to reinforce it means that you may have to start shooting down Syrian airplanes, and that gets you into a fighting conflict. Up to now, the Obama administration has been trying very hard to avoid getting dragged into this conflict. And I think, you know, frankly, the American public is not has no appetite for getting into another Middle East war. My fear is that as this civil war continues and as the situation deteriorates for the Assad regime, they're likely to take actions that will give the president no choice but to take some military steps in order to reinforce what he said publicly.
Do you think there's the political will to do that?
I think the president will do it if he has to, and the Syrian government may give him no choice.
Gary Seymour is executive director of the Harvard University Belfer Center, formerly President Obama's coordinator for weapons of mass destruction, counterterrorism, and arms control. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Later this hour, we're going to talk about the challenges of assimilation, if you can even call it assimilation, for the thousands of young immigrants who come to the United States from war-torn regions.
Am I really American? Am I really African? Am I really Somali? Am I really Muslim? What does that all mean and what that makes me, all of these subcategories of identity?
Understanding a complicated and dual identity while growing up in the United States. Later this hour, it's The Takeaway.